The 142nd Psalm contains a prayer of David when he was in a cave. This kind of goes along with our daily Bible reading. Recently we read about David pursuing, or Saul pursuing David, and David was in the cave, and while hiding from King Saul, this reflects the fact that he thought he had been deserted by all of his friends, and actually considered one of the saddest passages in the entire Bible. But notice in verse 4, he says, "No one cares for my soul." Many people today wonder if anyone really cares whether they are lost or saved in eternity. Sometimes this attitude can be the result of one who has shown no interest in their own soul, unfortunately, and they are trying to justify their lost condition by trying to place the blame on someone else. But what about it? Who cares for my soul? Does anyone really care? Now, I don't mean someone who is merely trying to get their hands on my money by telling me that they care, because there's a lot of people in the world that'll do that. But I'm asking, is there someone who really cares? Well, I have some answers for this. And I want to say, first of all, God cares. God cares. God cares. God's care for mankind was evidenced in a number of ways. It's seen in Him lovingly creating man, as we read in Genesis chapter 27. The Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And it's also noted in the fact that He sustains man's life. In Acts 17 and verse 28, Paul over there says, "In Him we live and move and have our very being." Further, in James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning." All we have to do is turn to passages like John chapter 3 and verse 16. "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice, God so loved. This shows the degree of His love for mankind. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, John records here, "In this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God's concern for us is not the result of our loving Him first. He loved us. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and down at verse 8, "God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Notice this. While we were still sinners, God sent His only begotten Son to die for us. And this He did because of His love for us. And because of His love for us, we need to learn to do what Peter said to do. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. This is also expressed in 2 Peter chapter 3 and down at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we know God cares. There's no doubt about it. But there's also another one who cares. You know who that is? Christ cares. Christ cares for our souls. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We talked this morning about the fact that Christ taught us not to be served, but to serve. In this manner, Christ served mankind by giving his life a ransom. He came, in fact, to minister to mankind. This no doubt displays a deep concern for our souls. Jesus said of the household of Zacchaeus in Luke 19 and verse 10, he said to Zacchaeus that he came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus actively was seeking the lost. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. For scarcely a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man one might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, Christ cares for you. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and down at verse 7, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. We can confidently all cast our cares upon him, knowing that he truly cares for us. Paul said in writing to Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This again shows the utmost of care for our souls. He purified us, his own special people. Now, by virtue of this, we find out in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Christ is our intercessor with the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. That this is why Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, dear hearts, Jesus cares for our soul. But is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Well, I think you will find that the Holy Spirit cares for your soul too. The Holy Spirit cares. Turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 26. Notice that John records the words of Jesus when he was telling his apostles about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he says, but the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Notice, Jesus says the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit was to make all things which pertain to salvation known to mankind. in the book of Revelation. We find the Holy Spirit pictured in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 as saying, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Yes, the Holy Spirit cares about your soul. But is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Well, I believe from a study of the Scriptures that the angels care about your soul too. Did you know that? Jesus used a parable in Luke chapter 15, which talked about the value of one who is lost. And he said in Luke 15 and verse 7, "I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Now look down at verse 10. "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Did you get that? Angels not only care about your soul, but they rejoice when your soul is saved. Now, you're probably surprised that this many people care about you. But you know what? I was going to suggest somebody else that cares. You know who cares? Other Christians care for your soul. That's right. And well they should. Jesus placed a grave responsibility upon every disciple in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Did you notice the scope of that? All nations. There's no exceptions. No exceptions. All nations. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said himself, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We have a responsibility to look out for one another. We have to care about each other. And we have to understand that those who don't do the will of the Father in heaven are not going to be able to enter into that eternal kingdom. And that is significant. In John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Christians not only care for your soul, but they care about the souls of other Christians too. Notice what Paul said with regard to other Christians in Galatians 6 and verse 1. He said, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass..." Now, overtaken in a trespass assumes what? They were already saved, but they've been overtaken in a trespass. "If any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." We have a responsibility to one another. Who cares for my soul? Other Christians care for my soul. And when they come to me with a concern or to point out something in error, they do it because they care for my soul. But there couldn't possibly be any more that care for my soul. Or could there? Could there? Whether we realize it or not, even those who are lost and have died care for your soul. Read with me, if you will, from Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. Luke 16 and verse 19. We'll read down through verse 31. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I want you to get the picture here. This rich man had it made in this life. He fared sumptuously. And Lazarus had a pretty rough life. He didn't have much to eat. He was covered with sores. And he was just hoping that some of the crumbs that fell from the table might be his. Now, the same thing happened to both of them. And you know, the wise man of old observed this many times. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're powerful, whether you're weak, the same thing happens to all men. What? They all die. They all die. And that's what happened here. Now, after death, though, even though everything up to that point was the same, after death, there was a difference. We find the rich man is in torments in Hades. And he's lifting up his eyes and he sees Abraham far off. And Lazarus is where? He's in Abraham's bosom. Now that's a situation. That's a situation. Notice what the rich man did. The rich man cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, the first situation was the rich man being tormented. What was his solution? Well, just have Lazarus come over here and just with his finger, just touch my tongue a little bit so I'll be comforted. But listen to what Abraham said. Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented." Now, simple solution. Get me out of this torment so I won't have to do it anymore. But, you know, there's not any chance of that. Because listen to what Abraham says next, verse 26. Look at it carefully. "Besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." There's no crossing over after death. No crossing over after death. And then the rich man, realizing that his circumstance is what it is, he starts thinking, "Okay, maybe you can do something else for me then." I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Do you notice what his concern was? There's no getting out of the place he is. There's no getting relief from the torment that he's in. But what does he start worrying about? He cares for the souls of those left behind. Yeah. He cares for their souls. But Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, they have their chance just like you did. Let them hear them. And he knew good and well his brothers wouldn't listen. He knew good and well that they wouldn't listen. And he said, no, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And indeed, someone did. Jesus. Those who have died lost do not want others to join them. Jesus said so. Now, we can try to dismiss this and say, well, that's just a parable. Just a parable. Jesus was just making an illustration. Let's get something down. When a parable is something that is real, that teaches a lesson about something that you can't understand. Now, where are you going to put this one? Where are you going to put this one? And parables didn't use men's names. There's a whole lot of arguments here for this not being a parable, but rather it is an account of something that happened. It happened. Those who have died lost do not want others to join them, especially not their own families. I have five brothers, he says. And from the depths of torment they cry, do not come to this place. But the real problem is not whether God or Christ or the Holy Spirit or angels or Christians or the lost care for our soul. The question is, do you care for your soul? Do you care for your soul? It doesn't make any difference whether all these others care. The real question, do you care for your own soul? Now, just suppose that you could truthfully say, no man cares for my soul, as David did in the psalm that we just read a few moments ago. This isn't going to change your individual responsibility one bit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, what does that say? It says we are individually going to answer for everything. either good or bad, that we have done in the body. Paul further stresses individual accountability in Romans 14 and 12 when he said, "So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God." Each of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you care for your soul? Do you have any concern whatsoever for it? I think that thinking about being concerned about our souls is an important point. Well, now how can I show that I have concern for my soul? How can I show it? Well, have you been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you care about your soul, you'll be doing something about it. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We read it just a few moments ago. Have you been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, if not, I want you to consider carefully what we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 7 through 9. Paul says, "Now to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire." Now notice, "taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Stop right there. Question, who is Christ going to take vengeance on? Read it carefully. "Taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what's going to happen to those people? How's he going to take vengeance on them? "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." That's how. Now, with that in view, and considering the fate that awaits those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, what will you do if you truly care for your soul? Think about it. What will you do? Well, obviously, you will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll confess your faith in Christ from a penitent heart, be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins, and rise up to walk in newness of life. That's what you'll do if you care about your soul. But perhaps you're a Christian. The question still comes to you. Do you care about your soul? Well, if you said you do, why aren't you faithful to him in everything that you say and everything that you do? Why, if you do care for your soul, is your attendance sporadic? Is your attitude towards his church careless and indifferent? If you really care for your soul, you'll resolve today to become more faithful to him. More faithful. Remember what Jesus said to the church at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2 and down at verse 10. "Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. For those outside of Christ to say that you care about your soul and to refuse to do anything about it, or for a child of God who's become unfaithful to the Lord to say they still care about their soul and then refuse to repent and to return to their first love, is to tell a lie. Those outside of Christ who are not willing to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ don't really care about their soul. That's the truth. And those who are Christians who have become unfaithful to the Lord, and then they say they care about their soul, that's not true. That's not true. Because if they cared about their soul, they'd do everything in their power to be faithful to Him. If you really do care for your soul, you'll do whatever's necessary to bring your life into accord with the will of God. Do you care about your soul today? Remember this. God does. Christ does. The Holy Spirit does. The angels do. Christians do. And even the lost who have died care about your soul. If you do, why not make the appropriate response to the invitation of heaven?